We continue now with the tafsir of Surah Al-A'raf. Yesterday we wrapped up the discussion on verse 55 where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions, Udu'u rabbakum tadarru'a wa khufya. Call on your sustainer humbly and secretly. Innahu la yuhibbu al-mu'atadeen. He does not like those who transgress the bounds. A day before yesterday we spoke about the dua element of this verse. How we need to incorporate the element of humility as well as the element of silence when making dua. And yesterday we focused on the second part of the verse, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. Allah does not like those who transgress the bounds. And we had a discussion on the fact that you should not transgress, you should not overstep. Even when it comes to good deeds, even if deeds are virtuous, they should be carried out within the limits that the Sharia has specified. For example, no person should spend all of his time in ibadah and neglect earning a livelihood, neglect fulfilling the rights of his spouse, neglect fulfilling the rights of his children, other rights and responsibilities that he has. Also, we explained yesterday that you cannot embellish by your own will. You cannot say, I will perform 8 rakats of farad in the Zahar Salah. In the field, you've been granted latitude there. You can read as many as you want, although there are general rulings there that it must not come at the cost of your other obligations. And our deen is one of balance. And ghulu, even in good things, ghulu, you know, sometimes when the Sharia has given leeway, where there's two opinions, then as soon as there's a principle in fiqh, when there are two genuine, authentic opinions on the matter, automatically the severity of the matter decreases. So if you are of the viewpoint that it is not permissible, for example, and there is another, you know, bona fide viewpoint that it is permissible, automatically the severity of the matter drops a few notches because there is two differing opinions. And therefore those who feel it's not permissible, they cannot condemn outright those who deem it permissible because there is a genuine view to the contrary. We're not saying just any view to the contrary. We're saying an accepted view, an authentic view of reputable scholars to the contrary. Now, you know, some person would just know this is the only viewpoint and this is haram and that is haram and that is haram and everything is haram, and have an objection to everyone who's doing any kind of deeny work. Self-appointed watchdog, you know, that's a big problem that we suffer from here in South Africa. A self-appointed watchdog, a watchdog that unilaterally makes decisions in terms of what the watchdog deems to be in the best interest of the South African Muslim community, creating chaos, undermining efforts that have taken years of toil and sweat and sacrifice to put in place. The Hilal situation in South Africa is one such example where you have, you know, all the bodies coming together under the umbrella of Uqsa and making one unified decision in terms of the moon sighting. That's a great ni'mah of Allah in today's times. If you see what's happening in other countries and the kind of conflict and chaos and the kind of disharmony that it creates. And here, you know, you get those who deem themselves to be watchdogs, who have appointed themselves as watchdogs, wanting to undermine that, wanting to, you know, to overthrow that. And in every situation almost every event, every, you know, jalsa, every program, every other alim, every other organization comes under the hammer. Nothing's right. And that's a form of extremism. It definitely is a form of extremism, which this verse talks about. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, He does not like those who transgress the bounds. He does not like those who transgress the bounds. Now we move on to the next verse, verse 56. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا وَدُعُوهُ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Do not cause corruption in the earth after its reformation, and call on him with fear and expectation. Surely the mercy of Allah is near those who do good. Surely the mercy of Allah is near those who do good. Now in the previous verses, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala showed the way, that how you call upon Allah for all your needs. Now Allah teaches us that Allah has rights, but the creation also has rights. The environment also has rights. When things are running normally, بعد إصلاحها, things are running perfectly, normally, you don't go and interrupt, you don't go and cause some corruption, you don't go and cause some aberration, you don't go and cause some deviance and variance now in the system when things are running well. And the Mufassirin have said here that when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, do not spread corruption in the lands, or do not spread anarchy in the lands, this verse is referring to external and internal reformation on earth. external and internal reformation on earth. With regards to the external reformation, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala instructs the people in this verse that when it comes to the vegetation, the natural vegetation on the earth, Allah is allowing it to flourish, to grow. You don't go and interfere there. Yes, you may exploit certain areas of vegetation for the greater good of the human race, but don't destroy and do not harm unnecessarily in terms of the external things in the earth, that which is running smoothly. And in terms of internal reformation, the system of guidance that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has initiated on earth by means of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam that He has sent, and by means of the different books that He has revealed, do not disturb that. Do not interfere with that. Do not deviate from that. Allah has His systems in terms of the apparent of this world and the internal, the spiritual. And Allah has outlined what His systems are. So stay within the parameters of not obsessing those systems, but working in tandem with those systems. That is in essence what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is outlining. When Allah says, وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا, that do not cause corruption in the earth after its reformation. وَدَعُوهُ, and call unto Him, خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا, with fear and expectation. Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah says that when Allah says call unto Him, وَدُعُوهُ, Allah is actually referring to worship. That worship Allah with fear and expectation. Al-imanu bayna al-khawfi wal-raja. Iman is between hope and fear. You hope that Allah will accept and forgive the deficiencies. You fear that Allah won't accept because of your deficiencies. وَدُعُوهُ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. Worship Allah with hope, with expectation of reward and fear. Inna rahmatallahi qareebun min al-muhsinin. Surely the mercy of Allah is near for those who do good. Good deeds brings the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala closer. Good deeds brings the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala closer. So to wrap up, because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was talking about dua in the previous verse, and now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala incorporates this angle, scholars have written, there are no less than 5 etiquette of dua that have been gathered from these verses. Firstly, you should not transgress the limits when making dua. Don't ask for something impermissible or inappropriate. Secondly, dua as a general rule should be silent. There are exceptions. The third, one should have the fear that perchance the dua may not be accepted. You're calling out unto Allah, perchance it may not be accepted. Number four, one should have hope that inshallah it will be accepted. And fifth, one must abstain from all sins, because these sins prevent acceptance of dua. And this is also part of this phrase, وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. Do not cause corruption in the earth after its reformation. Because Allah has put in place a spiritual system. Every time you sin, you're going against that spiritual system. So these 5 things, don't transgress the limits, make dua silently, have hope, have fear, and also abstain from sin. Well, this is what we glean from the last 2 or 3 verses. And I'll conclude this whole point by mentioning that in Sahih Muslim, there's a narration that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made mention of a person who traveled a great distance. His hair was disheveled and he was covered in dust and he was in a very pitiable condition, and he's raising up his hands and he's calling out unto Allah, O Rabb, O my Rabb, O my Rabb. But the Nabi of Allah said his dua will never be accepted because his food, his clothing, his nourishment is all from haram sources. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect us. And Allah concludes by saying, Inna rahmatallahi qareebun min al-muhsinin. Surely the mercy of Allah is near those who do good, meaning that all types of good. So when making dua, according to etiquette, do some good before that. You know, give some charity, etc. So you draw the mercy of Allah. And as a general rule in your life, understand that good deeds draw the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It's 17 minutes to 8.